So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé, Mkay. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing Season 8, Episode 4 of 90 Day Fiancé. In this episode, we meet self-proclaimed cougar, Stephanie, and her psychic friend. Andrew and Amira both fly into Mexico. Rebecca and Zayed get good news about their visa. Mike and Natalie check out the entirety of Squim. Yara and Jovi go furniture shopping. And Julia finally gets to Brandon's family farm. As always, we'll have our students of the week, class dunces, and life lessons. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star rating and subscribe. And if you also watch Love After Lockup, you should listen to our other podcast, Love After Lockup Mkay. Okay, thanks for listening, stay safe, and enjoy. Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O.
How are things with you?
Things are pretty good, and I'm going to apologize in advance for the crappy audio quality, but it's because I have to make do with the technology I have because I am on land, but I am still not home.
That is right. So we're back from last week.
We want to
thank Miss M again for sitting in for you, but now you're back and you get to talk about some of these people. Like, we had a new couple and everything last week that you missed.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I do want to say that I listened to the podcast episode when I got back to land. You and Miss M did a pretty good job. She has a very, like, pleasant voice. I was telling my friends, I was like, oh my gosh, it was such a change. Like, they're like, oh, why do you think that? I said, because I don't know, my voice is like shrill. I'm much more aggressive than her.
Everybody hates their own voice. That doesn't count.
I think so.
I think your voice sounds great.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, she did a really great job. Okay, so let's go ahead and just jump right in. Let's talk about Rebecca and Zied first. So Rebecca is anxiously waiting to hear back from the Tunisian embassy. Not knowing either way has been really frustrating. She's been obsessively refreshing the website because it makes her feel like she's doing something. As she is obsessively refreshing in the park, she finally gets an update that the visa has been approved. She immediately calls Zied to tell him that his visa has been approved. He laughs and whoops and says he's so excited. She says this has been a 2-year process and she is happy that they are on to the next step, which is finding a home for them. Back in Tunisia, Zied tells us that it's been a year since he's seen Rebecca. He goes to buy Rebecca a bracelet. He says it's not expensive, but he needs to bring his fiancée something. Zied is preparing to move. He tells us that he has been very close with his family and he has never left them before. We get a flashback of his parents' disapproval of Rebecca because she is not Islamic, and she has been married before. His father just asks that he stay connected with them and to make his marriage work. They briefly discuss Zied's career path, and he will be picking up heating and cooling. His mother is worried that her family will not accept Zied. Zied is worried about his family because they're older and they seem to be very sad that he is leaving. All right, so his parents don't really seem to like Rebecca, but they also seem to think that, you know, this is a good opportunity for Zied, and they're actually pretty supportive considering, like, how they feel about everything. Do you think it's more important for Zied to be in America in the eyes of his family or to be in a marriage that they approve of and, you know, with someone who could give them grandchildren? Because I know his dad mentioned specifically that Zied is their only son.
Oh, right. But it's also, I don't know, it might be definitely one of those things where, like, well, who am I supposed to pass things on to if my only son is not here? Like,
right.
Can't give it to my daughter or anything like that. You know, that kind of struck me a little bit like that. I think it's important to them that he do something worthwhile. I mean, obviously, if it was their choice, they want him in Tunisia, married to a Muslim woman, doing, you know, having a viable career path. Which I thought was funny because I really thought that his dad didn't really see heating and cooling as like a valuable skill and a viable career path because I don't know that it is in Tunisia.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
I feel like in America, obviously, we're like, hey, HVAC conditions do great.
Oh, yeah, they do. They're in demand for sure.
Totally. But I imagine if you're in Tunisia and you've never had air conditioning, but you'd be like, heating and cooling? What do you?
Who would need that?
Who'd need that? Yeah. There's only like five rich people that can use that. Everybody else wouldn't. I don't understand how that's an entire career. Because his dad was like, I hope you find a career. And he was like, you know, I've been training for a career already, right? You've heard that. It's just a lot that they don't get.
Sure. I feel like they don't really get his whole career thing because he doesn't have the best track record. I mean, what was he doing before? I mean, I still am unclear with what he was doing before. It sounded like he was doing part bit acting. He was working at a coffee shop, it sounded like, at one point. But for some bizarre reason, none of these things have actually given him any kind of paycheck where he has a work history.
Right, because they did that with the PI and looking up his work history, and he like had none. It just seems like he works like under the table favors for a bunch of people. That's pretty much what he does. Right. So somebody needs some work over here. Oh, you need me to come to the copy shop for a couple of days? All right, great. Oh, you need me to put up some drywall or something? All right, no problem. Like he just kind of does whatever, just odds and ends, odd jobs. Literally, he's doing odd jobs. And so I totally get the dad. Like now is the time, son, that you need to actually come up with like, what are you going to do like long term permanently? And I especially get that. I especially get him wanting to do that when Ziad is about to leave the country. I mean, because you don't want him to be completely reliant on this other woman for like everything.
Well, that might be his family's plan. I feel like he doesn't care. I mean, he's demanding video games, right? And he's like, well, I'm just going to like set up shop on the couch. Like, I'm going to need some entertainment.
Well, I mean, but that's a common theme that came up a lot this episode of like, at first you don't have anything to do. Like there really is nothing. Yeah. You can't get a job. You don't have a driver's license. Like you're really stuck until you can get married. Like those first 90 days are like, that's it. You can't do anything else.
Yeah, definitely. All right. A couple that doesn't really have that issue, at least not as of yet, is Andrew and Amira. So Amira has packed up to fly to Mexico. The plan is that they will quarantine in Mexico for 14 days before they both fly back to the U.S. Amira is worried about the trip to Mexico. Her visa is up in 6 weeks, but the challenge is that flights from Europe have been banned. She is excited to finally be united with Andrew. She walks through the airport and is shocked at the lack of people. Things seem to be going smoothly as we see Amira on the flight. Meanwhile, back in Roseville, Andrew is heading to the airport to fly to Mexico to meet Amira. He is looking forward to staying at a resort for a couple of weeks. Andrew hopes that Amira doesn't have any negative feelings about the path he has chosen for them. Andrew believes that the risk is necessary for them to be together. Andrew has arrived in Puerto Vallarta, and he receives a text from Amira's dad saying that Amira has been detained in Mexico City. He tries to call the airport in Mexico City, but no habla inglés. Andrew justifies his plan and says he did so much research on the internet. The French embassy isn't open over the weekend, so Andrew is unsure how to help or contact Amira. Andrew heads to the resort he has a reservation at, and he plans to figure things out there. Andrew hopes that the detention centers are nothing like the detention centers in the U.S. because he's worried that Amira is suffering. All right, so Andrew sounds like he did a lot of internet research, or at least according to him. What kind of internet research do you think Andrew really did? Like, where is he getting his information from?
This 100% sounds like he went on a subreddit and asked a couple questions to people and were like, oh, yeah, this seems legit. I totally got it.
It definitely sounds like that. Which is just like, oh, that seems like a terrible source of information.
It does. Everything he looked at, I was researching online. And maybe not Reddit exactly, but it does seem like it was like message boards. Right. It was definitely advice from other people that said they did this and he trusted that they were telling the truth that they did it.
Yeah.
As if people online on Reddit don't do like, you know, that thing where they're like, I think this would work, so I'm just going to say I did it already. And tell everybody how it went, right? Like, I know there's even like one subreddit that's literally called As a Black Man, and it's just people who are clearly not black people being like, well, as a black man, I support Donald Trump, like things like that. Like, just because you said that you brought your fiance in doesn't mean that they did bring their fiance in this way.
Right. I don't know. I do think that getting firsthand information is sometimes like way more useful and informative than, say, the information on a website. And I can say that just from getting into this country. I can tell you that I had a lot of personal drama trying to get into, right now I'm currently in Turks and Caicos. To get into this country right now, it was kind of like, it was a little vague on certain points. Like, for example, I had to get some kind of insurance. And that's how they said it, insurance. I was like, well, I have insurance. I never even worried about it. But my friends actually got here about a week before I did. And so then they clarified. They're like, oh, no, you need travel insurance, not for covering the travel costs, but to basically have medical expenses taken care of when you're outside the country. And so your medical insurance isn't going to cover that, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so the point was, is that I wouldn't have known that just from looking on the website. So it is really helpful to have people that have gone through the process, but to kind of life hack a situation, which is, sounds like what he's trying to do. Like, yep. I don't know if I would really want a message board to be telling me how to life hack when it's like some serious things are on the line here.
Very serious things. The fact that he didn't talk to a lawyer is insane, right? And he's just going by what he said online. Because if he would have talked, well, the thing is I know why he didn't talk to a lawyer. He might have talked to a lawyer, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. But the lawyer would have said, under no circumstances, mm-hmm. do not do this. This is crazy. Don't do it. Like, just wait.
Yeah.
And he was like, whoa, no, we got to do it now. Like, and so, I mean, it's just, and so he just went with, somebody else said they did it. It's a loophole. And that's always bothers me. The number of people who think they can outsmart the lawyers and they can outsmart the people who work in customs and they can outsmart the embassy, right? They just kind of go through life thinking everybody else is an idiot. And so they'll never catch me. They'll never figure out what I'm doing. This is the loophole that I can get around. And it's like, no, we have students who do the same thing. They think they're getting away with something sneaky and be like, I know who you copied off of, man. Like, I'm not an idiot.
Do you think it's the case that the reason why he's pushing so hard is because he's just fearful that if this visa runs out, that they have to reapply and he has to pay? Because to me, it seems like if you have to start over again, it's not the end of the world yet. It sucks that you have to wait, like, what, another year? But, I mean, the only downside I would see to that is if they're just like, oh, yeah, you have to pay, like, the $10,000 all over again to, like, refile.
I can't see – I just can't see any circumstance where they would grant a visa, tell you couldn't come into the country.
Right.
And then not extend that visa. Like, not be like, oh, no. Now
yeah, especially under the circumstances.
Because of the circumstances. I can't imagine not thinking that, oh, when travel opens back up, they're gonna just extend the visa. Like, that is just so logical to me, and it seems much more logical, much more likely path to success than this crazy Mexico plan, right? Especially when your crazy Mexico plan involves two people who don't speak any Spanish at all.
Oh, God.
Like, what was his plan if anything went wrong? Anything went wrong. He speaks no Spanish at all.
Right. Well, I mean, specifically, and things have gone wrong with, like, the airport situation. But I mean, like, I don't know if Andrew's thinking about that. I think he is definitely thinking, oh, this is like a vacation. We're going to Puerto Vallarta. Like, it's a very touristy town. You know, like, mostly people speak English there just because of all the tourists. But yeah, like, having to, what was she detained in Mexico City? Like, dealing with anything there. And I love how he calls the airport. It's like, how did you even get the number to the airport? And why would you think to just call the airport, like, they would know?
And just started blabbing in English. Yeah, these are the airport guys, right? Like, first of all, it wasn't the airport that detained her.
Right.
It wasn't the airport that detained her. And second of all, like, this was always something that you were taking a risk on, right?
Yeah.
You knew that there are travel restrictions all over the place. You knew that things are weird. You know that there's not insignificant chance that something goes wrong. Maybe not necessarily this, maybe not necessarily get detained. So why would you choose a day to fly when the embassies are closed?
Yeah.
Like, you know that this could be a thing. Like, it's so crazy. It's such a half thought out plan. And from a guy who just clearly thinks he has everything down.
Right.
He's 100%. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm perfect. You know, not perfect, but you know what I'm saying? Like, just the way he speaks is very, he's always like, he's been condescending to the camera.
Yeah. Okay. So I watched last week's episode. Actually, I watched it with my friends too, because we are all like holed up in a villa right now together. So, you know, we're all watching it, and I listened to the podcast before I actually saw the episode. And so I heard what you and Miss M kind of thought about them, and Andrew specifically. He is a weird guy. There's something very like spoiled child that like I get those kinds of vibes. And it really super like red flag when, you know, Amira was talking to her dad and like the things that she said that he said to her, like, I'll resent you for the rest of my life. You know, like he clearly makes her cry often that her dad is like, I don't think this is a good match. And it's just like, I don't understand from Amira's perspective, like why she's so into this relationship. And even all my friends were saying, they're like, oh, she is so clearly out of his league. Like, he's a weird looking guy. Yeah. He's just a weird guy. There's nothing like super special about him to me.
No. And it's like the way he talks, some of the things, the way he says them bothers me, and I can't put my finger on why. Right. And last week it was when he said things like, that is a conversation that we will have to have. And like this week it was like, I think about her in those detention camps and it brings me great pain. I don't know why that bothered me, but I can't pinpoint why, but it was just like, that's a weird thing to say and a weird way to put it.
Right. I think it has to do with, you know, it's like those people that are around kids all the time, around babies all the time. And they're like constantly doing baby talk. It's almost like he's talking to everyone like we're all children.
Oh, yes. Come here, friends, and sit in the circle by story time. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So who do you have?
All right. So I'm going to go to Mike and Natalie.
Okay.
So Mike and Natalie are up in the morning for their first full day in Squim. And Mike's plan is for them to make some French toast together. Natalie starts by washing the eggs, which is apparently a Ukraine thing. And they just, you know, they just make French toast. Natalie's first impression of Mike's place and of Squim in general is that she's always cold, which we can talk about later because Squim is like much warmer on average than Kyiv. But anyway,
yeah.
Mike keeps trying to figure out how she's starting to settle in. But her concern, but I mean, besides the cold, is how she's going to spend her time all day every day with Mike at work, especially since she can't even drive anywhere right now. Mike suggests that she get herself unpacked and organized, which Natalie is like, okay, fine, but that's like 2 hours. Right? After that, he's got nothing. Maybe watch TV, go for a walk, relax. I don't know. It definitely seemed like a very relatable thing to most people. Many people right now. Like, what do I do with myself in the house all day? But anyway, soon the food is ready, and Natalie tries French toast for the first time. She takes a bite and kind of fakes a yum and doesn't seem to be all that into it. And eventually she says it's not that it isn't good, it's that she doesn't want to eat it because it's not healthy. And then Mike offers her syrup to fix that problem. But anyway, eventually she gets up and starts peeling a carrot to eat for breakfast so that her skin will glow without beauty products. Just a friggin' plain carrot. But anyway, Natalie is disappointed that Mike knows about her diet. He knows what she eats. And he didn't really have any of those foods available for her when she got there. So after breakfast, Mike takes Natalie out to see the town so she can get her bearings. Mike knows he's going to be gone for a lot of the day, and it's going to be hard. The roads are much less scary than during the daytime than they were at night. Although Natalie is confused that there's like woods, and why do they not stop? Where's the end of the woods? And she isn't really excited at all about the prospect of fishing in the creek when the weather gets warmer. Anyway, you go to the town. It's kind of like a two-stoplight town, right? And Natalie doesn't know what to do with that. She remembers reading about a famous waterfall nearby and suggests they could go see it. And then they have a dumb little circular conversation about when they can make the trip out there. Mike says 5 days is too short notice because he won't be able to get Friday off. And Natalie is just like, but I don't want to sit in the house for like 2 weeks before we can do something. Anyway, Natalie thinks that this means she is less of a priority to him than his work. And like I said, also pretty much dreading having to be locked up in, holed up in that house for another 2 weeks. They get to the, you know, big site in town to see, the shopping center, where Mike's barber is and there's some restaurants. They get out of the car and Natalie is just sulking and not saying anything. And Mike does his best to try to get her to tell him what's wrong. He kind of hugs her and begs her to say, like, literally anything. Natalie just feels like she's not understood, which, I mean, seems like it would be helped by, you know, talking, but yeah. Like Mike is asking, but, you know, whatever. All right. So, I mean, this, I don't know, this one started off, I mean, beginning of the season started off low and yeah. It's not getting any better. I mean, do you see any prospect of this getting any better for Natalie right now?
I mean, I don't think so, because, I mean, let's look at where we started. We already kind of know, well, I can only guess based on the opening clip, was that things are bad. She's trying to get the hell out of there, you know? So obviously right. things uh-huh. don't get any better, but it's like, I kind of can understand where both of them are coming from. I don't think he has really, he is not the only one guilty of this, even this season. You know, next right, we'll totally. Talk about like Yara and Jovi, but, you know, kind of feeling like the person's coming in and fitting into their life and they really haven't gone too much out of their way to really change their life for anyone, right? So I can kind of see how that's really frustrating. I mean, even something as simple as turn up the freaking heat. Get some extra blankets yes. for her. Something like, and she said that the house is like a trailer. If it's kind of like a mobile home style, you know, house, I can see how that is really cold, you know? And so it's like, he doesn't seem to be bothered by it. So his thought is like, it's fine. You just need to get used to it.
He's in a friggin' t-shirt in the kitchen. Like yeah. he's done nothing. He's like, whatever. It is what it is.
Right. He's like, well, you just need to get used to it.
Yeah, that's a totally good point. Is like he definitely didn't make space for her in his life.
Right.
He just kind of was like, wherever you feel like fitting, that's where you can fit.
Right. Just like the closet. Like, oh, well, we'll figure something out and we'll make space for your stuff over there. And like,
yeah,
even
don't you go get your stuff organized? Yeah.
Right. Like with the food, like it really occurred to me, like when he's like, okay, so this is what I do on Sundays. I have my coffee. I always make French toast. This will be our Sunday tradition. It's like, no, not really. That's your Sunday tradition. And you just want someone to fit in with that Sunday tradition. So, I mean, I get from her perspective that she really did give up her complete way of life. It must be comforting to have some of like your home comforts, like somewhere new. And so things like as simple as, you know, like, well, you don't have the foods I like, you know, like I'm uncomfortable yeah. in this house because I'm too cold. Like just trying to make her as comfortable as possible, especially at the beginning. I get why she's like frustrated. I also get why he's kind of frustrated because she is really quiet. She's not expressing like how she feels. But I think like at the same time, I thought it was kind of funny that he says, you know, like, oh, you know, she has two modes, like on and off, and she gets really quiet. And I just think she's processing things. It's like, yeah, she could be processing things, but I don't think it's good. Like, I feel like she's really processing like a lot of resentment and hatred. So when she gets really quiet, right. it's not good for you.
Right. And it's definitely hard to have those kind of deeper conversations about what you're feeling and thinking, like, mm-hmm. and it's in your not native language, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like to her, and it's, I totally get her because I do this sometimes too. Processing can mean like, I can't just, you know, sprout everything I'm saying off the top of my head because some of that's dumb. Some of it's half formed. Some of it's not really true. I really need to like, come up with what is the root problem here. Mm-hmm. What is it that I would say? What's something actionable that I can say?
Right.
Right. That was something he can do something about. Right. Because mm-hmm. just, and I think that was a lot of it. It was a lot of it was like, well, she can't just say this town is garbage and nothing's here.
Yeah.
Because what is he going to do to fix that? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Right. And yeah, the heat thing, just, I don't get why She can't explain. She was like, I understand that it's snowing outside, but it's cold in the house. In Ukraine, it's colder outside than it is here, but it's warmer in my house. Why don't you turn up the heat? Because she even steps on the like heat register at some point.
Yeah.
And he's like, we'll fall through that. It's like, she's cold, man.
Yeah. Like, she's like, the it's nice about and warm cold here.
As if heaters don't exist.
Yeah. She was like, oh, it's nice and warm here. And he's like, don't burn yourself. She was like, I wish I could burn myself.
Yeah, I would definitely think it's something like, I don't know how they work in Ukraine, but I could definitely imagine like, you know, those kind of industrial, like, you know, apartment complexes with, you know, as more people than his town just have a huge boiler in the bottom. And just like from, you know, October until May are just like running at full blast. And so you do come inside out from inside and it's like 80 degrees in everybody's house.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I could see that and her just being used to that. And then you come here where you're like, he's probably got, I mean, likely he's probably got like propane heat or something. And to be like, yeah, no, I keep it at 65. Yeah.
Oh gosh. I mean, I kind of get it because my place has vaulted ceilings and I have a gas heater. So it's like insane the amount it costs to heat my house. So I just choose not to. And I get it. I live by myself, so I can make those kinds of decisions. But I'm also someone who gets really cold. So during the wintertime, it's like I have a space heater that pretty much follows me everywhere I am in the house. And then if I'm like just sitting on the couch, just hanging out like in one spot, I have electric blankets in like every single room. So I mean, like there are things to make you more comfortable if, you know, your central heat is the issue.
Right. But and that's the thing is that the one thing, and I totally get her clamming up and not talking, because the one thing she does say, that's like, I am cold.
Yes. That should tell you a lot.
That is actionable. That is how she's feeling. She's very clear about it. And yeah. His answer is, well, you just have to get used to it.
Yeah.
You're just not used to it yet. And it's like, okay, so when I did give you something clear and actionable, you were like, meh, whatever. And so why would I believe you're going to do that with anything else I say? Simple, like literally an electric blanket. You're right. Boom, done.
Right. And I think it's fair for her to think that because like we said at the beginning, like I don't think he really has gone out of his way to make her feel comfortable. I don't think he's gone out of his way to make her feel secure even in this relationship because she did bring up the fact that, you know, she doesn't have a ring. And so I feel like she just feels like, I don't belong here. You know, like it's not that he really wants me here. It doesn't seem like it.
It doesn't seem like it. And yeah, that's extremely unstable and destabilizing to be like, I gave up everything. I put all my life in a suitcase and came here. And you're like, yeah, not really sold on that yet.
If you want to fit in.
Yeah. You'll get used to it. And B, I'm not sure. I'm not sure you're the one I want to be with for forever. It's like she already made that commitment part. Like that commitment part for her side is done.
Right.
And to come and uproot everything for somebody who's like, I don't know, maybe, is I also frustrating.
Yeah. Oh, so when she was washing the eggs, like I'm with you on this. Like I've never washed eggs. I've never thought to wash eggs. But I guess it does kind of make sense because like once you crack an egg, it's like the bits of the shell kind of like go in, right? It's the whole reason why some people wash melons. Because once you cut into the melon, whatever's on the outside is going on or through like your food. So like, yeah, it makes sense. I just never thought to do that before. So it didn't seem completely outlandish. But it definitely was
I think it also has a lot to do with how they like process and transport the eggs because the other thing too that Americans do that's weird about eggs is Americans refrigerate their eggs.
Oh yeah.
Like most people else in the world don't refrigerate their eggs. And so I don't know if that makes it different or not.
Yeah. When I was in Cozumel for a couple months, that was kind of funny to me because I was looking everywhere in the refrigerated aisles. Where are the eggs here? And they was like right next to the produce. Was very weird.
Yeah, I think we refrigerate our eggs because I think there's like one extra step of processing that American, you know, industry tends to do that probably does both things. Means A, you have to refrigerate it, and B, you don't have to wash it.
That makes sense. The other thing that I thought was interesting, and this is like, I don't even think this is a language barrier thing, but I feel like I constantly run up against this, like next whatever day of the week versus this day of the week. So if you say next Friday versus this Friday, right? So she was saying like, oh, next weekend versus this weekend, you know? And so the poor thing, she's just like,
right. Well, she was confused because this was all happening on Sunday.
Yes.
So this weekend is today.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And that's the confusing. Once you hit Monday or Tuesday, then it's very clear what you mean by this weekend and next weekend, right? But when you're in a weekend and you're like, okay, when you say this weekend, do you mean this coming up weekend, like 1 week from today? Or do you mean literally today?
Yeah. Poor thing. Okay. So speaking of poor things, let's move on to, well, both of them already have unfortunate.
Yeah, you said speaking of poor things, and I was like, I don't know where you're going with this because there's a lot of poor things.
I know. Oh, okay. Let's go Yara and Jovi. So Jovi's reading a book, and Yara jokes, you know, it asks if he's learning how to make a lot of money for her. Yara brings up the fact that they need to change some things out of their apartment. She uses the plate as an example, saying that they look like something from a prison. Jovi gets defensive and says they are expensive, and Yara asks if a dollar is expensive. Jovi then goes on the attack and says it's better than the stuff she had at her place. Yara says that she wants to pick out some things so they are more her taste. So Jovi takes her furniture shopping so he can get rid of what Yara calls his ugly-ass furniture. I just assume that Jovi is drunk since they Uber to the furniture store. They're starting off small by picking out a mirror and a rug. Yara likes everything and starts picking out things she thinks would look good in their apartment. Jovi is clearly cranky as the furniture salesperson asks him if he needs a Snickers. He is desperate to leave the store, so he doesn't care what she picks out at this point. Yara says that Jovi has swamp taste, which she has defined as taste with no taste. And he says that he has what he likes, so what's the problem? The salesperson is definitely keeping it real and kind of mediating between the two as she asks where their apartment is and exclaims that, oh, that's really nice. Jovi feels like it's a win for him because Yara has been complaining about the apartment. But then Yara asks about how to say rug in English, and Jovi snarks at her and says that she just needs to learn English. The salesperson turns around and tells him he can't talk to Yara like that, and there is no reason or excuse for him to treat her like that. In an interview, we find that Liqueur, that's the salesperson's name. I don't know, that's what it was spelled out to be. Would advise Yara to slow down because, you know, Jovi might not be the one because he's snippy. Liqueur is fed up and says that Jovi has to make Yara happy. Jovi then pisses Yara off by saying that he refuses to put the white rug she likes in his apartment. He is confused why she is mad as she walks off to call a car. And Liqueur schools him and tells him that he can't call it his apartment when she just moved there to be with him. Liqueur tells him that he has to go apologize, and then Jovi asks why. Yara tells us that people think she's the bitch, when in reality, Jovi isn't very nice, and he just flashes a smile and thinks he can get away with everything. She says if he doesn't start treating her better, then she will leave. Jovi goes outside and is like, what? What's wrong? Jovi thinks he's being sensitive to Yara, but he should have a say, and she is the one that's being ridiculous. Yara says they don't have to buy anything and they will just live with the ugly stuff they have. So they get in the car and they both sit in awkward silence as they drive home. They get home as Jovi just powers forward without waiting for Yara and almost locks her out of the building. Jovi gets into the apartment and immediately says he needs a drink. He then confronts Yara and says that, you know, she can't respect his opinion. Yara brings up the sacrifices she has taken and says that the rug is the smallest sacrifice, and it hurts her to hear that it's his apartment. Jovi counters with, it's not a big deal because she has a place to live. And yes, he said his apartment, but, you know, he admits it's their apartment. Yara is frustrated and says he'll never understand and then cries. Jovi then says that she needs to understand that he's been trying to prepare everything for her. Jovi then apologizes for, quote, whatever he did in the store. Jovi then says that, okay, they can pick out anything that she wants online. It'll be there in a couple days. Yara asks if they can maybe also throw out the pieces of broken furniture that are just randomly sitting in the middle of the living room. And Jovi agrees to take it out to the trash right now. Jovi thinks that they both have to be more understanding and make more compromises. Jovi apologizes again and hugs her as Yara tells him firmly that if he calls it his apartment again, it will be his apartment because she's going to be gone. So, do you think that Jovi actually loves Yara, or is he just an ass in general?
I mean, those aren't mutually exclusive. I mean, he is an ass. But, like, I don't know. What's funny about it is just, like, to me, when I watched this, and I watched him in the store, mm-hmm. and I was like, there were two thoughts that came to my mind. And the first one was, this is obviously a guy who's never had a girlfriend before. Obviously. Like, these are all the kind of dumb, stupid fights that everybody else had when they were 19. Uh-huh. Right. And like the first time you like did something together, we'll get a new carpet for our dorm room. Right. And that's the kind of thing you have. Right. Yeah. And they had these stupid fights. Right. But second of all, I mean, just his behavior in the store.
So childish.
I won't lie. It did remind me of me when I was like 15. Oh, and I had to go clothes shopping with my mom, or, you know, four, whatever that, or 12 or whatever old you, 15 is probably a little too old for that. But,
goodness,
like, you know, when mom was like, I need you to come with me so you can try on the jeans. You're just like, oh my God, I want to be in the store. Like, it's just so childish. Like, it was crazy. And so he just doesn't understand, like, being a grown up is some, especially being a grown up who's in a partnership with someone else, means sometimes you have to like talk about things and not just be like, oh, fine, just do it. Because you find it boring.
It just really bothers me how he fights. You know, it's like,
yes,
he's super defensive from the very beginning. He always turns it around on, well, you think, you know, it's bad. Like, my dishes are bad. Your stuff sucked. Your hometown sucked. You know, it's like he's petty. He like is defensive. Mm-hmm. He's like tries to always turn it around on her. Like, what's wrong? You know, like, you should know what's wrong because you said a jackass thing. The salesperson called you out on it. Bless her soul, liqueur. She was just like, yeah, right. Oh, you man. Were mean, like, and you're snippy. Like, you should go apologize. Like, but why? It's like, oh my gosh, are you really that dense?
For what? I didn't even do anything wrong. Right. I didn't say anything. It was just a carpet. And it was like, well, the part of it is like that whole attitude, his entire attitude of the day mm-hmm. was basically everything you like is dumb and a waste of time and stupid. Like everything. Like that was, none of it matters. It doesn't. Why are we wasting our time doing this? Let's just get it done as quickly as possible.
Right.
We won't even discuss it until she makes a decision. And his thing was, your decision is terrible and we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that.
Right. That's not going in my apartment. And just the way he was treating her, it was just, he was incredibly rude.
Right.
Like the fact that he just was like, ugh, like he was frustrated, like storming into the building. Well, the building required like a key card. And so he let himself in, right. Didn't hold the door open for her, almost locks her out of the building. It's like, you're such an ass.
And then got immediately like, I need a drink. It's like, you need a drink for what? Because you were being an ass? I don't get it. Like, but yeah, and it's just, I mean, so much of like, because part of what it is, and Yara, I don't know that I could date. I actually really like Yara on the show. I don't think I could date Yara, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's a little more high maintenance for you.
She's high maintenance, and she definitely has that sense of humor, with that ball busting sense of humor, right? Mm-hmm. She's going to give you a hard time and she's going to be silly about it. What are these dishes? These are ridiculous. Well, oh my God, your book sucks. Like things like that, right? But she does it in like a joking. That's the thing, is it just comes back where she's like, oh, you better be learning how to make me money. Ha ha, nudge, nudge. And he's like, what about, why don't you make your own money, bitch? It's like, now you just took it too far. What did you do that for?
Right.
That wasn't funny or playful. That was just mean.
Yeah, which is why
she's clearly being playful.
Right. Which is why I question. It's like, do you even like this girl? Because you don't seem to treat her very well. And so it's like, is it that you don't really love her? Or is it just that you're just generally an ass? Because like the only time in this entire episode where it kind of seemed like he even liked her, even a little bit, was at the very, very end when they were kind of like making up. And I wouldn't even say that it was that he had this like epiphany, like, oh, I was really wrong. Because I don't even think he knows what he was saying sorry for, other than he thought his life would be easier if he just said sorry. So he's just kind of like, I'm sorry. Yes. And it's like, do you even know what you're sorry for exactly?
Can we buy stuff online and fix this?
Yeah.
And then we'll just, like, do that, right?
I'm sorry for whatever happened in the store. Because I think he even said whatever happened in the store. It's like, so do you not know what happened in the store? You're just like, I'm sorry for just generally that whole thing.
Yeah. He repeatedly said, oh, she's being ridiculous. She's being ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And like, so no, he doesn't understand what happened at the store at all.
No,
and this is definitely
doesn't.
A thing of someone who's never tried to, again, fit someone else, make space for someone else into his life. I wouldn't say
right.
fit somebody else because he's trying to fit. He just expects her to, I got an apartment. I'm done. My job's done. You're supposed to fit into this now. Like, we're good.
Okay, can I sidebar for a second? So if you recall from a couple episodes ago, he was hanging out with his friends. And his friends kind of gave this impression, like, Jovi's such, like, the party boy, like, bachelor for life, kind of seemed almost like a player type. And it's like,
sure.
I can tell you, with my group of friends that we were watching this, we all kind of said the same thing. We're like, what girls is he getting? You know, it's like Yara is just super beautiful. It's like, if you are that shallow, because he does seem that shallow, like, I don't know, understand why you're not, like, making some attempt to make her happy or at least treat her well.
Right. I mean, he seems like, you say party boy, drinking and stuff. I mean, it seems like the vast majority of his relationships have been hookups, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
like, he's just
definitely.
Not used to, after, like, maintaining a kind of relationship, which it was like, whoop, boy, that was fun. Peace out. Like, that's what he's used to.
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to get my white claw out in the morning and you can see yourself out. Like, definitely the kind of guy that won't even walk her to the door. Just says, all right, peace. See you later.
Oh my gosh. He's the worst. All right.
Oh, yeah. He really is. He really is bad. All right. Speaking of bad.
Oh, gosh.
Stephanie
so
and
good,
Ryan. Woo.
It was so good. Yeah.
So good. All right. So anyways, like I said, this is a year for, like, all-star trolley introductions. Because when we first meet Stephanie, who is 52 years old from Grand Rapids, Michigan, she is in her house hula hooping while also doing a business call and wearing a device that shoots green light into her eyes to reset her circadian rhythm. The first thing we learn about her. Yeah, just that was just...
All the things.
Just all together. Oh, man. She is training to beat the Guinness World Record of hula hooping by hula hooping for 100 hours. The second thing we learn is that she gives herself daily youth serum shots of Simorelin. Which she believes, and I put believes in quotes, activates the pituitary gland and keeps her looking young. So, sidebar here. Of course, I looked up Simorelin.
Yeah.
It is a drug that does activate the pituitary gland by making it release HGH. It used to be used to diagnose, like, HGH-related deficiencies in children and some treatment options, but it's actually discontinued in the U.S., it is also considered a performance-enhancing drug by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Ooh, do you think that'll affect her hula hooping?
Oh, that's a good question. Interesting.
Yeah. Like, are you allowed to dope and hula hoop and break records?
Yes. Is she going to get her record taken away for doping? Interesting. Because I literally looked at the world, because as soon as I saw HGH, I was like, wait, is this going to be considered a PED? And looked up at the World Doping Agency, and sure enough, that was one of the substances listed as like always banned or something. Like, you know, some things you can take if you have a diagnosis and stuff that you take, like Adderall, for instance. Like, if you have diagnosed ADHD, you can be on it. You can test positive for Adderall and not be banned from competitions and stuff.
Sure.
Right? But this was not one of those. There was, like, no exceptions for this one.
Plus, do we even know if the pituitary gland has anything to do with keeping you youthful? Is that, like, a thing?
It was weird because the way she said it, she said it activates my pituitary gland to start releasing the stuff that you stop making when you're 30, which I assume she meant she was talking about HGH. I don't know if there's a relationship to increased HGH production and youthful, looking youthful, that I don't know that at all. But it's definitely an off-label use of the medication.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Anyway, we also find out that she has a successful medical spa business. Well, you know, successful. It says she has two shops, but it's successful enough that she needs to show us off her Maserati that she drives around in.
Nice.
Her spas focus on weight loss and, of course, age reversal. But, you know, her ambitions as a businesswoman have gotten in the way of her dating life, as has her relationship with her father, who had bipolar disorder. She says that her relationship to her father made her put up emotional walls. And she, every time she said emotional walls, she made a hand motion where she drew the walls with her hands. But that was before she met the hottest and youngest man she's ever dated, 27-year-old Ryan from Ladyville, Belize. She says that it's new territory for her as a cougar because previously she'd only dated men 20 years younger than her, not 25. Their relationship wasn't romantic at first, but, you know, it did blossom into something, and she's been going back to Belize every 2 to 3 months for the past 3 years. The only step left on for Ryan to get the K-1 is his embassy interview, but the embassies are shut down at this point in the story because of COVID. Stephanie tells us that she has trust issues dating someone in her 20s and gets nervous when she doesn't hear from Ryan or he doesn't respond to her text. So she calls his mom to check up on him.
Oh, goodness.
Ryan's mom, Dorla, is actually 5 years younger than Stephanie, but has more life experience because she raised 7 children.
Oh, my God, so many.
It is a lot of kids. Anyway, Stephanie is very worried about her and Ryan's connection to each other because the pandemic has kept them apart for much longer than usual. Then, in a very on-the-nose metaphor, she lays down on the floor to snuggle with her cat, who just ignores her and walks away. In the next scene, after feeding her cat yogurt, side note, don't feed your cat yogurt, her psychic friend Maria is coming over to do a reading. I'll say that again. Her psychic friend Maria is coming over to do a reading. Stephanie is a true believer and wants this reading to calm her nerves. Before the reading, Maria gives Stephanie a hard time about all the, you know, crap she's always buying for Ryan, particularly watches. Also, before the reading, they FaceTime with Ryan, who says he's been fishing all day and that's why he couldn't be in contact. But Stephanie doesn't really buy it. Anyway, the call is to introduce him to Maria, and it seems pretty clear to me that Ryan is not really a believer or on board with this whole psychic thing. Now, before the psychic reading starts, in friend mode, Maria thinks that Ryan and Stephanie has Stephanie wrapped around his finger, and he might be in this relationship for the attention and all the stuff, but not for her. But anyway, they start the tarot card reading, and Stephanie takes her 3 cards. The first one tells Maria that she's going on a journey. The second one, Maria interprets to mean that Ryan has 2 women in his life, which scans with Stephanie because she caught him texting other women before. The third one indicates that there is some kind of deception going on around her. But Stephanie thinks this card might be more about her deception instead of Ryan's. Since following one of the big blow-up fights she had with Ryan after she kicked him out, she then slept with his cousin, Harris.
What's wrong with people?
Obviously, she's going to have to come clean about doing this. So in true 90 Day Fiancé style, she's going to wait until he's already in the country to do so. So, I mean, wow. Stephanie is a piece of work, right?
There are so many things. I actually felt kind of bad for her because when she was talking about her dad.
I did for like
a second, right?
Yes.
Sleeping the cousin thing, then it's just like, okay. But it's like she clearly has daddy issues, like, and I feel bad for her. It must be tough to grow up in a home where you're constantly seeking the affection of one of your parents and you just never know if you're going to get it that day, right? You just never know
what kind of
mental state they're going to be. That's got to really mess you up. So I do feel bad for her. I do feel like a lot of her issues stem from that. But she's kind of a quirky lady on the side. I mean, did you see that oil painting of her and her cats?
Actually, I didn't.
They like zoomed in on it. She has like an oil painting of her like draped across. And there's like, I want to say there's 2 or 3 cats in this painting. So it's cats have passed or something, or maybe she has more than one cat. But it was really funny when she was feeding the cat too, like she was feeding the cat yogurt. The cat had this look of pure hatred, like in its eyes. Like,
right.
Yeah,
it always did. There was a few times she tried to feed the one cat. Yeah, and she kept like chasing it down the stairs.
Oh yeah,
and
they
tried
want nothing
to pet the cat
to do with
and just walked away.
Yeah, those cats hate her. They so hate her, and they just like the look on their face, like I'm only over here for the food. Once the food is gone, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's just so much. I mean, I don't want to, you know, judge her medical spa either, but it's like, man, there's just too much I don't know about it. But it definitely it was definitely one of those things that was just on edge about it. I was like, oh, gee, I don't know if this might be one of those, you know, pseudoscience type like things going on. And then she was like, and then I really believe in psychic. And I was like, uh-oh. That put
me over the edge. Well, I mean, like med spas, there's definitely varying kinds. Like,
sure,
you know,
totally.
Like I know of med spas where they just do things like laser treatments and things like that. You don't need to be a doctor or anything, you know, if you're not putting anyone under, you know. So, and maybe that she just has like a bunch of estheticians and stuff, and they do like facials and things like that. So it doesn't require any kind of expertise of any kind. I think for being 52, you can tell that, you know, she's had a little bit of work done, but it's been very tastefully done. And I think that.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I was on the same page. It's not, she doesn't have the huge lip fillers.
Right.
And the ridiculously tight facelift or anything like that. Like, it's clear that she's had something done, but it's not, like you said, tasteful. It's been
very tasteful and not over the top. So, I mean, good on her because, you know, if you think about it, it's like if you look at her, she's 52. Darcy, she's what, 44? You would easily think they were reversed.
Totally. Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, that sounds like the med spa. And I can't, like I said, I can't go too hard on what she's doing in the med spa because she herself looks good. And like,
oh, yeah.
She says that when she's doing the questionable PED shots that, like, you know, she has to look good because who's going to believe? Who's going to go to a med spa where you look like 10 years older than you really are? Like,
right.
Nobody's going to, like, you know, where the owner looks terrible. Like, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when they were showing pictures of Ryan, you know, in their typical photo collage state, he was wearing a shirt that said, "Keep one rolled." And it's kind of like,
it was a weed shirt.
Oh, goodness. And so it's just like, I wonder if their lifestyles are just going to be different.
I know. I was thinking of kind of the same thing. Like, if you're going around keep one rolled, you just strike me just by that.
Yeah.
You strike me as the kind of person who sleeps with a bong on your bedside table.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, and like you wake up and the first thing you do is hit the bong. Like that's
when you're
27 and living the free life on the island in Belize on the coast, you know, just messing around with your friends. Like, that's not that's okay. Fine. Great. If that's the way you want to live. But it just doesn't seem like it would fit in with her life at all.
No, especially because she's really about like health and, you know, trying to be youthful and, you know, take care of her body.
Sure.
Just seems like those things don't really mix.
Okay. Can we talk about then her relationship with the word cougar here? Because it's definitely one of those things that I feel like if it were gender reversed, like, it would sound gross, right?
Oh, yeah. You'd be like, oh, you're a pedo. Okay, great.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of when we gave him a hard time on going off show on Love After Lockup when we had Scott and Lindsay.
Uh-huh.
And Scott was like, oh, your other 50-year-old guys eat your hearts out. Like, I was like, ew, gross.
Yeah.
No, just ew. And I really got the same kind of vibe. Oh, they say I'm a cougar and I own it. Like, it's like, ew. Yeah. Especially when she's like, and he's my cub. And I was like, the cub is the cougar's child. Like, stop. He's not your cub.
You know, okay. I don't know if this makes it any better, but for me, it does make it slightly less creepy when at least they don't have kids that could be the same age as like their partners, right? So I think the problem with when I look at, you know, your Scott and Lindsay's with your Rebecca and Zieds and your Angela and Michaels, it's kind of like, to me, that's weird because that could be your kid's friend. And that just like kind of creeps me out. Sure. We're all in the same age range, you know? But I mean, it's like she doesn't have kids, and so she doesn't have that point of reference. So it's a little less creepy to me.
But when her mom's 5 years younger.
Oh, yeah, that's weird, right?
That is a point of reference, right? Yeah. Like that is there. And it just seems like, I mean, there's no other way around it. It just seems like she dates young guys because she wants to feel young.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that it fits in with the med spa situation.
Yeah. It's all about her entire life is about like capturing and holding on to youth.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the psychic for a second. So what I thought was really kind of funny is that it's like, it doesn't take a psychic to just throw it out there and say like, I think he's talking with his ex-girlfriend. You know, it's like,
right.
I think you had pretty good odds on that one, Maria.
I really definitely think Maria is I don't know if she pays Maria, but Maria is just giving like friendship advice, but using a tarot card to do it. She's like, yes, I think your boyfriend is talking to his girlfriends. And that's clearly what this card is saying to me.
Right.
Like she knows you. It's not like I don't know how she could have known these things.
How could she have known that I was dating someone?
How would she have known that this young guy who just disappears into his phone might be texting old girlfriends? Like,
obviously, he hates Maria because it's like, yeah, she's the one who called you out on your shit like before. So I love how he's like, oh, I don't really believe in psychics. Uh-huh. Yeah, because guess what? A psychic got you in trouble, and that's when – you know, Stephanie went and slept with her cousin.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, no wonder.
I didn't think about that. Did she say, I looked through your phone because my psychic said you were talking to girls? I mean, oh my God.
Probably did.
I would break up with anybody right there if they told me that. 100% right there.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe you should leave and never come back.
Like, right. So no wonder he's like, I don't believe in psychics. I think they're full of shit. I don't believe in anything. It's like, yeah. It's like you want to preemptively say that because even if they're not full of shit, it's like they're still getting you in trouble.
And then, I don't know, I the cousin thing.
Yes. Oh, it was so gross to me. How is that even happening?
What kind of an asshole is his cousin? Like, come on, man. What is that?
You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, is it really your cousin? Because I feel like on these islands sometimes, and Belize I know is not an island, it's kind of like, but like island beach living.
The whole town is cousins.
Yeah, you're kind of like, everybody's a cousin. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've definitely seen that. I've definitely had, you know, students that were like that. They're like, it's my cousin. I was like, oh, how are you related? They're like, oh, not really related. It's just, you know.
He's my cousin. Yeah. Yeah. We like grew up together.
So that is, but that's even like.
But even still, the fact that he's connected. Yeah. That just seems weird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To be like, this is a guy that you at least are close enough to think of as your cousin. That's just going to be like, yeah, as soon as you break up with that old lady, I'm going to sleep with her, dude. Like, I'm going for it. Like, who?
No, like,
and again, I don't know how it just the whole, you know, one thing leads to another. And it's like, that usually is because you wanted the other thing to happen. Right. Somebody wanted the other thing to happen. It didn't just happen.
Well, like,
one of you actively made it happen.
So I can kind of see how Harrison is motivated. Because
if this lady is giving away free stuff to everybody she sleeps with, yes.
If she's giving free watches, if she's, you know, just like funding like this lifestyle, he's probably like, okay, I could try this out for a little bit. And I can just get some side sex. Sure. Seems like win-win.
Yeah, I can see that. Especially if, oh, she's done with you. Oh, sweet. The bank is open. I get. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Sugar mama's here.
Uh-huh. Definitely.
Sugar mama will provide.
But then she's doing the thing too, and that's like the thing where she's gonna, like, she's afraid if she tells him now he won't come, so
God,
let me wait until he's here to tell him. Like, yikes.
What is it with these couples that do that? Because last up we have Brandon and Julia, and it's just like, I don't know what Brandon was expecting. He like clearly hid things from Julia. It's like, did he even tell her they were living on a farm? Because she seemed to have been somewhat clueless about this whole situation.
We'll get to them next and we'll talk about that because, yes, like, I don't, there's a lot of things that didn't get explained like, there.
Yeah. Did she know? Okay, so Brandon and family have checked out of the hotel and they're on their way back to Dinwiddie. Julia has faith that Brandon has fixed the room situation. She also reveals that she has never been on a farm before and she's a bona fide city girl and she was living in the city center. On the car ride, she asks how long it would take for her to walk to the store. And they tell her, oh, an hour. And she's just shocked. Brandon suggests that maybe they should get her a bicycle. Julia is surprised by all the forest and trees. They finally get to the house, and she is excited to see the welcome home poster, which moves her to tears. Ron, Brandon's dad, immediately brings out boots for everyone as they go to feed the horses. She is taking pictures and tells the horse not to eat her hand as she gives him a little bit of hay. Julia once again fears for her hand as she goes to feed the chickens and worries that they will hate her for taking their babies. Brandon's mom, Betty, excitedly tells her that it will be her job the next morning to feed and care for the chickens. Julia gets a little squeamish at the thought. She tells us that she loves animals, she just doesn't want to take care of animals. Brandon is feeling hopeful that Julia has such a positive reaction to the farm, including her tears, because obviously that means she must care. He is now 80% sure that this is all going to work out. After feeding the cozies, or goats, she asks, how much is the ticket back to Russia? Julia absolutely does not want to feed the pigs. After Brandon feeds the pigs, Julia tells him never to touch her again. Julia is bothered by the fact that Brandon's mom assumes she will help out on the farm without really asking. Julia says that she's a designer and a dancer and she doesn't want to work on a farm. Later, Aspen, a family friend who helps out at the farm when they go on vacation, comes over. She's going to help show Julia the ropes when Ron and Betty are gone at work the next day. Julia tells us that she loves Brandon, but she does not love the farm, and she will give it 1 month, and if in that time she can't stand it, she will ask Brandon to move to the city. Julia finally gets to see the inside of the house, and they take a tour. First stop is Brandon's room, where Julia is shocked to see that Betty has put a cup of condoms by the bed. Julia thinks it's some kind of attack, and she is just confused. She then goes to her room. She says it's cute and nice, at least out loud. But she secretly thinks it's a joke and stupid, and she doesn't want to live there. They move on to the kitchen, where Betty points out the trash can. That is not a trash can, because it contains the crickets that are used to feed the chameleon. Julia is confused by all of the animals. She just doesn't feel comfortable because she is overwhelmed with new English words and foods. Julia is frustrated that Brandon isn't making her feel any more comfortable. They sit down to dinner. Julia is very surprised by their prayer or grace before dinner. Betty asks what she thinks about the farm, and Julia says that, you know, she felt a huge urge to run when she saw the pigs. Julia says she is scared and doesn't want to sleep by herself that night, and, you know, she kind of feels like a child with them trying to keep them separate. Ron and Betty think that, you know, think that she should feel weird about sleeping in the same room, you know, considering they're unmarried. Brandon tries to make light of this whole situation by pouring them some more wine and then saying, let's keep talking about this. His parents then dig in and they kind of get mad and say this isn't a joke and they will not be changing their mind. All right, so we saw Julia's reaction to the farm and, you know, mm-hmm. So how long do you think Julia will last in this situation?
I don't know. It's one of those things. She says she's going to go the month. I don't know if she lasts the month. I would give her 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Before she's like, nope, I don't need the rest of the 2 weeks. I'm my mind's made up. I'm done.
Right. Like,
because, and it was funny. It's one of those things that made for good TV. And it was funny watching her react to do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were her mom, if you were mom and dad, right? If you were Betty and Ron.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny at first. If she's still doing that on day three, you're going to be like, this is old and annoying. You need to stop. Like, just feed the goddamn chicken. You know?
Right.
Like, and it's just because the stuff they were asking her to do was not – I mean, some of it – I don't know. It was like, you've been to a petting zoo, right? Like, especially the pigs. She didn't have to touch the pigs. She just had to pour something into a bucket in the pigsty.
Those pigs were so fat. I've never seen pigs that big before. Like that far, fat around.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe it's the type of pig, like the breed of pig. But that pig, those pigs were so fat.
I don't know. That's what I feel like they look like when I go to this state fair or whatever, the county fair.
I don't know. Like,
pigs are big.
But like their legs were so like stumpy compared to their, that's why I said maybe it's the breed of pig. But their belly was like practically touching the ground.
I don't know. It's just in the chicken thing. I get the chickens actually more than anything else. Like, because I'd be afraid. It would. It is like nerve-wracking. It's going to peck me in the hand, man. Like, it's like a weird.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's not a city girl. Oh. I think the bigger issue than them being on the farm is really going to be her and Betty. She already, you know, Betty seems to be imposing her views onto Julia.
Uh-huh.
And I do agree with Julia, like, but at the same time, it's not really necessarily Betty's fault. It's kind of Brandon's fault.
No, it's totally Brandon's fault.
They're just assuming she's an extra farmhand.
Yes. Yeah. So that was something that Brandon probably knew and probably didn't tell her.
Right. Exactly. So I blame Brandon for that.
But even clear, he told her what kind of farm it is. Or like that it is a farm.
Right.
Right? Not like that. She clearly did not know that she was expected to do work. And I don't think Betty didn't tell Brandon that. Like, or Brandon right, wasn't no, aware of that. Right? Not. Brandon kind of has that farm thing. Everybody who lives here helps out. Right? Great.
Yeah.
But she needed to be told that being a city girl. Right? It's just, I mean, it's all Brandon. Because Brandon just doesn't fight or doesn't push back or doesn't say anything to anybody. And so everybody assumes they agree with him. Like we've had it both. Right. We've had Julia say he agrees with me on this room thing. He needs to stand up to his mom and tell her. And then the mom goes, well, he agrees with me on this room thing. He just needs to stand up to Julia and tell her. Like they both, neither of them know where he stands even, you know?
Well, I mean, I think it was interesting that the money thing came out because I don't think that Betty really thinks that Brandon's on the same page as them, but Betty is on the page of, well, you have no choice, so these are the rules, right? And whereas Julia kind of thought, oh, we have a choice.
Ron was like, and deep down, he knows it's right. And he really agrees with us, and he knows what we're saying. Like, and he just needs to stand up and say it. He knows what the right thing. We raised him to be right, and see, he knows this is right. And Betty is like, I would think he would be uncomfortable sharing a bed with someone who you're not married with. Like, I don't know. It's all kind of everybody is kind of delusional about it. Like, and
yeah,
I mean, okay, so I don't think I would last very long at that house, and it has nothing to do with the farm.
Oh right, and it would be Betty.
I mean, the indoor animals too.
Not even the indoor animals.
Oh, man. Because I totally get Julia. I get Julia's like, listen, you're surrounded by animals and you work with animals all day on the farm. Why in your house are there more animals? I don't understand. Don't you want to get away from these animals for like a second? You have crickets in your kitchen, right, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was weird to me. And okay, I completely get where Julia's coming from. That trash can didn't even have a lid on it. So right. To me, it's like, how hard is it to put a lid on? And granted, I get that you don't think the crickets are jumping out of this trash can, but it's like, do we also need to see this shit? Just cover it up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have issues with Betty too. Just because Betty just kind of goes to the world assuming that everybody agrees with her. Right?
Right.
And so,
sure.
And so it's just going along. You're gonna, because they didn't even ask her like which of the farm activities she'd like to do. They were just like, you'll be doing chickens. And she
right.
was like,
you'll do all of them.
Okay.
You'll be doing all the things.
And I appreciate Julia for trying, at least giving it I'll give it a month. I'll give it 1 month. And we already know where that month, how that month is going to go. But like, you know, I appreciate her trying. But it was just like, it just seems like Brandon kept her in the dark about so much stuff. So much stuff.
Maybe because he realizes how shitty this situation is. And he's like, oh,
right.
God, no
but
woman
that's
will ever
thing.
Be with
that's,
me.
That is a, it doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. Right. When you didn't tell somebody because you know there was a chance they would reject it, then you're taking the choice away from them. Like it makes you a bigger asshole,
yeah.
not a more understandable figure.
Right. No, exactly. Okay. So coming up with student of the week, I actually said it was Julia.
I did
because
too.
Because I do think that she was honestly, I think she is going to honestly give this a chance. She didn't overreact to anything like in an incredibly negative way. I think it's absolutely fair for her to be scared about things. I think it's fair for her to even like kind of joke about things like to make a light. And she was never like, oh, I'm not doing that. I don't think so. She was very like go with the flow and okay, I know I don't like this right now, but I will give it a fair chance for a month.
Yeah. I mean, I was totally on. I'm with that too. She said the room was cute. I really love that. I really love the joke when he was like, do you have any questions? She was like, how much is a plane ticket back to Russia? Like that was funny.
Right. That was cute. Yeah.
That was so cute. Right. And like, I don't know, yeah. Just even little things like, okay, something we didn't mention that I just thought of is I don't understand why there were two bedrooms. One of them was full of junk and the other one was clean.
Yeah. Brandon's bedroom is the clean one. Mm-hmm.
Right. Shouldn't he be like, no, Julia gets the nicer bedroom, I'll take the junk. Like, that's...
Right.
I don't know, that would just make more sense.
And why the hell were there stuffed animals on there, on the bed? They were weird ones, too. She looked at it like, what children's room am I stepping into here?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was weird. But yes, yeah. I did Julia. She seems like she's going to... And giving it a chance for a month is fair, I think. I really do think that's fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah. She didn't say, get me out of here right now. She said, I'm going to give it a chance for a month. So, yeah, Julia.
Right. And I think that's a reasonable amount of time. Because sometimes people are just like, okay, I'll give it a week. It's like, well.
Yeah.
You know. And I think they say just in general, like 30 days is usually like enough to make something a habit.
Oh, no. Right? See, I've always heard, this is what I've heard for habits. And this is why I'm always intimidated by it. In order to form a habit, it takes 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
10 okay. weeks to form All a right. habit. Mm-hmm.
I had heard it was 30 days, but 10 weeks, yeah, I can see that. But I mean, like, there's 30 days for a lot of things, right? So.
Sure. I think it also depends on what kind of habit you're talking about, right? Working out 3 days a week? True. Or are we talking about, like, brushing your teeth every day? Or are we talking about, you know, just getting used to the rooster waking you up? Like, I don't know which one of those things it is.
Yeah.
How much accommodation it takes. Yeah. Right.
True. All right, what about your dunce?
Stephanie,
okay.
I really, really don't like this lady. Oh. The tarot cards and like the freaking out about him not calling when she knows she's cheated on him and like calling up his mom to check on him. God. Like there's just so many things. And that goes beyond the, I'm setting the Guinness World Records by shooting circadian rhythm boosting lights into my eyes as I drive my Maserati and like I can't there's so many layers of this lady.
I have a feeling she's gonna be a dunce for me later on.
Probably.
This time it's like more so backstory. You're like, you're not a good person. But in terms of things that happened like in real time, Jovi.
Yeah, totally.
Worst. He's definitely the dunce of the week for me. It's like, oh my gosh, you're such an ass.
Nothing. Maybe you should learn English. Like, oh my God. What?
I know. Rude. He is so rude.
Right. And I can't even, the nice shop lady was like trying to deal with him. And like, it was just, he was terrible. Just
I
awful.
Loved her. She just like called him out on shit. She was just like.
You can't call it
You're
my
mean.
Apartment.
You need to go apologize. Yeah. Yeah. You should go apologize to her. You need to make her happy.
Wrong? Yeah.
Well, what do I do? Yeah, you need to go check on your girl. Go.
Yes. Right. Oh man. He was pretty bad. He was pretty bad.
Yeah. All right. What about your life lesson?
My life lesson ties to them, right?
Yes.
When you think, and this is I would say more aimed to guys, because guys tend to be a little bit less emotionally intelligent, right? Is when you think that someone is overly upset about something dumb.
Uh-huh.
Most likely you've completely missed the real reason they're upset.
Oh,
and
God,
should probably
yeah.
think about that rather than just snipping about the, because he kept mentioning the carpet and I kept wanting to scream at him, it's not about the carpet.
Yeah, so true.
Why? Because he didn't like a carpet? I was like, that's not why.
You're like, that's not really what you're fighting about. Do you not get that? Dumb.
All right, not. So, yeah. The carpet sparkles in it.
It's like, I don't want a sparkly thing in here. All right. So my life lesson actually also has to do with them. So at one point, Yara says, you know, like if he doesn't start treating me or, you know, treating me better or changing the way he talks to me, then I'm going to leave. Right. So my life lesson is if people don't treat you well now, you should leave them now. To wait for change can mean that you're going to be unhappy for a long time because, you know, I feel like you're basically only willing to leave them, really, if things get worse, you know? But it's like, right, you don't really right. give yourself an out if you're saying, like, you're just sitting there waiting for them to change. And there is no end date on that. There is no, like, measurement of success there better
sure.
than what it is. I just feel like it's a bad, you know, timeline-wise. Like, well, when are you going to leave them then?
Right, right. You need, yeah, yeah. Set that month, set that time frame, and also mm-hmm. set that definition of what do you mean by treat you better? What do you mean right. by talking to me differently? Because yep. there's, like I said, it takes you 30 days to get used to the rooster crowing. It might take 30 days of you get used to being snipped at all the time. Like
right before you're just settled. Like, yeah,
that kind of situation. Yeah,
measurable exactly. outcomes, absolutely. All right. So next week, hopefully audio will be much, much better because I will be home.
We'll see. Maybe I can work some magic and the audio will be amazing.
Oh, Mr. O.
But okay.
Using your audio magic there. Well, hopefully it's not too bad and that you will all be forgiving until next week.
Right, right. And we will talk to everybody again next week from our respective home bases.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Okay.
All right, see everybody then. Okay,
bye.